This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9, Saturday Magazine, Macca and Tass. Joy is back on air after the awful events of yesterday. We weren't given access to the building until about half an hour or so ago.
And we've hit the ground running, Macca.
And we've hit the ground running and...
Thanks, Paul, for screaming out of bed and driving into town.
Our next guest, who I know he's on the line, we actually referred to you earlier, Michael, when we were speaking with our operations manager. We said we're going to be speaking to you next, and that was light relief. So I hope you weren't offended by that.
No, not at my age. Macca, never offended easily, my friend.
Good. So for our listeners, we're speaking with Michael Kroger. Michael is the president of the Victorian Liberal Party, and as we all know, there is an election coming up in a couple of weeks, I think it's going to be a very, very close election, Michael. What's your intelligence on that, or your gut feel tell you?
Well, I think that's right. Labor have got 46 seats with a couple of people who've resigned and all that. But fundamentally, they're on 46 and they need 45 to govern. And they're at risk in a large number of seats, mainly to us. They're at risk to the Greens in seats like Brunswick and Richmond, and obviously at risk to us in a whole lot of marginals from, you know, Bentley way down to Narre Warren North and Narre Warren South and over in the western part too. So there's a lot of seats in play, and I think it'll be very close, yeah.
We see with, and one particular seat stands out there, and I mean there's some of the country seats as well, which are going to be interesting. Richmond, if the results of the last election were, those voting figures were duplicated in this election, the Liberal Party haven't endorsed a candidate in Richmond, which my first question is, where are Conservative or, you know, Liberal voters in Richmond? Do they, you know, for them... they don't have a candidate to vote for. So what's the situation there? That's my first question. What are you as a party saying to those voters in Richmond?
Well, we're saying, first of all, of course, you can vote and should vote Liberal in the upper house.
Yep.
But in relation to the lower house, you vote for anyone but Richard Wynne and the Greens. And
but you're not giving them a choice.
No, that's correct. In the other 87, we are. But in Richmond, we're not. Not a seat we could win unless a miracle took place, and that's obviously not going to happen. So we've never held it. And we took the view that Richard Wynne, because he'd been involved, he was a recipient of the Red Shirts scandal. If the vote went the same way as the last election, for example, our preferences would have elected Richard Wynne. I think he got 2,800 preferences from us. He was 1,400 behind, roughly, before we had our preferences distributed. Last time we were third, and he got 2,800 of those, and he was 1,400 behind. He won by 1,400. So, all things being equal, we would have re-elected Richard Wynne. And given the scandal of red shirts, where public monies were used to pay Labor Party figures effectively to campaign, which is contrary to the Victorian law and which the police are investigating, we didn't feel in all good conscience we could work to the election of Richard Wynne. And, you know, it gets back to this other point, which is in our community you need to have respect for the police, and he's been asked, as others have been, to go to the police and give a statement on what his involvement was, and he's refusing to go to the police. And we just take the view that in a society where you try and teach good ethics, good morals and good values to young people in particular, what message does that send that a senior minister, not a backbencher, he's a senior minister, won't cooperate with the Victorian police.
So you've decided to take on the role of the police and law and order in the state. So, but, Michael, my question to you again is...
No, we haven't.
Well, it sounds like you're trying to do the police's job.
No, we're not trying to do the police's job. We're just trying to make a statement to people that, you know, any other normal person, if they're asked to go and talk to the police, goes and talks to the police. Well, ultimately, then the police comes to visit them. We just think it's an appalling message, particularly young people, that you can completely disregard the police. You know, these people who are one of the cornerstones of our society for law enforcement ask in all good conscience people to come and give them a statement, and they refuse. He's not some, you know, second rater. He is a minister of the Crown.
We understand
and he's
that.
Saying to, he's saying to all young people and everyone in the community, oh, just disregard the police.
We understand that. The question that was put to you earlier on is, what message does this send to Conservative voters in the seat of Richmond? And there are many of those who are my friends, in fact.
Because we don't know who all the candidates are, Michael. You know, often, as you know, in these, there's a long list of candidates that, you know, at the best of times, you know, will lose their deposits. Look, I suppose my question is, if those voting figures were repeated minus the Liberal vote, what, you know, the question is, who out of the two candidates that are the front runners in that seat, which is Richard Wynne and Kathleen
Moulton
for the Greens, one of those is going to be elected. Now, let's assume, for the sake of discussion, it's a Green. Mm-hmm. Is that a better result from your perspective than Dick Wynne? I mean,
well,
you know,
the global answer to the question is, Macca, that we prefer people to vote for anyone but the Green or Labor. We're handing out a vote card in that seat, and it will basically give people the choice of who to vote for. Is it a better result? That's for people to decide.
But you're not giving anybody a choice.
It's a different result. No, we're giving people complete choice.
You're not providing a Liberal candidate.
I'm not immune to what you're saying. Yes, no, we're not. And, of course, there will be Liberal voters who say, well, we prefer to vote for a Liberal candidate. And, of course, that's the case. We have that situation, of course, in country seats where we don't run against the National Party, where people say, well, we prefer to vote for a Liberal. We understand that.
Except there is a Conservative candidate. There is no Conservative candidate running in Richmond.
Well, I think the Liberal Democrats are running in Richmond. I haven't got the list right in front of me, but we say it's up to voters to make a choice. But don't, you know, in all good conscience, we're not going to be responsible for making a decision to strongly recommend to people that they vote for Richard Wynne. Given what he's done, we find that unconscionable.
Of course, you could have had a Liberal candidate with a how to vote card that did preference the Greens.
We could have.
That would have been interesting.
Well, we put the Greens last in all seats. We are in a number of seats putting another party last.
Which one's that?
We're putting the Socialists right at the bottom, and a group called Australian Liberty Alliance we're putting at the bottom in a number of seats too.
Well, that's good. They're a bunch of rat bags. That's good.
Yeah, our global view is that we put the Greens last because they're more extreme than Labor. But generally speaking, you know, that's our position. We'd like to put Labor last, but we usually put the Greens last. And the preference of the Greens over Labor is something we've thought about for years. As you know, in the 2016 campaign, we thought about preferencing the Greens over Labor. But we look at it from a standalone basis, which would be worse than Victoria. A majority Greens government or a majority Labor government, and we think that a majority Greens government would be worse, which is why we don't want a preference Greens ahead of Labor.
I'm interested, you know, so Brunswick, you're running a candidate, Northcote and I think Melbourne, is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, neither of those seats, now obviously because Northcote, Brunswick and Melbourne are all new candidates... I understand your reasoning regards Richmond. I take you back to, you might have heard it or read it, Senator Dean Smith, who you know.
Yes.
He put you know, when the Liberal Party in WA didn't run a candidate in Perth, and Dean was was quite upset that Liberal voters in that seat weren't given a right. Now, obviously, there's a different set of circumstances, but, you know, if people are faced with a position in Richmond, so on your How to Vote card, who are you suggesting people should vote one for? Is it the Liberal Democrats?
We're determining that today.
Okay.
But the likelihood is in the other three seats you mentioned, Brunswick, Northcote and Melbourne, where we are running candidates, that we'll have an open ticket. That's being decided today.
Okay.
And we'll have people decide. Can I just say that Dean's view is a view of many people. This is not a uniform view as to whether we should run in Richmond, as to whether we should preference Labor or preference the Greens. You know, we respect that, that there are other views within the party on this. This is not...
Yeah.
This is not a black or white or concrete issue, and we do have people that say to us, obviously, well, we want to vote for a Liberal candidate in, you know, in National Party seats. We want to vote for a Liberal candidate in every seat. And, of course, it's a, with a heavy heart that you say, well, we're not going to run in a particular seat. So, you know, we respect the fact that there are other views, and, you know, at other times, other leaders and presidents and state directors and administrative committees might have different views. So... you know, it can change. It does change. It changed in Richmond. We ran in Richmond last time. We're not running this time. But so, you know, we certainly take into account the fact that people are troubled by that matter, and we respect, you know, that there are different views. And you know, you don't come to this and say, right, absolutely 100% we shouldn't be running. Of course, you're weighing up a huge number of factors, and not giving Liberal voters in Richmond the chance to vote for the Liberal Party, vote for Matthew Guy and vote against Andrews, as I said, we come to that decision with a very heavy heart.
I just, and I'm sure you've thought about this, Michael, I just hope we don't end up in a situation where your worst fears are realised, where Labor needs the support of a Green to govern... And that green
ends up being this one.
Ends up being Richmond.
If we knew the answer to all those questions,
I know.
we wouldn't have elections. and Mac, of course, that's possible. that is possible. I mean, that would be a very unstable result for Victoria, which is why people should vote for the Liberal Party.
And I have a message here for you from one of our listeners, which I'm going to read out. It says, sadly, we Liberal voters get very frustrated that we have no one we can vote for in those seats on election day. So that's a bit of feedback directly to you, Michael, from one of our listeners.
Yep, and we perfectly understand that. I mean, we've got party members who would prefer to run in all the seats. But in the end, on balance, it is a very complex and difficult decision, but that's what we decided in the end. We thought about the other seats as well, and to not give Liberal voters the chance to vote in more than one seat in the inner Melbourne areas was something.
Yeah. It feels like a very odd tactic to me. As a party that really is pro-choice, you're actually not really providing a choice to Liberal voters in the seat of Richmond.
Yeah, and that's correct, and we respect the fact that people have different views on that.
We'll look with interest to see what your How to Vote card now ends up in that seat. Now, Michael, just so you know, in the interests of balance, I did a little count up over the last 12 months, and our political interviews, 35% were Labor, 33% were Liberal. We'll probably adjust that up now because we've had you. the Greens and Independents were pretty evenly spread. It was though around 12 or 13% thereabouts each. So our interviews reflect pretty much the voting intentions of people.
We're a bit under on the primary vote.
Yep.
But that's terrific. I mean, that's the type of balance, that all media should try and achieve. So congratulations. They're good numbers.
And just finally, Michael, are you able to give us a prediction of the outcome? Not what you would hope to see as the outcome, but what do you think will occur?
Yeah, what's your gut tell you?
Well, the polls, what I can tell you is the polls are closing, and the Labor government of Victoria, which have run a very strange campaign, which has been a minimalist campaign. Andrews is basically refusing to do a debate with Matthew Guy. He refuses to answer questions at press conferences. So Labor's vote is deteriorating. Their primary vote is deteriorating. Our primary vote is increasing. And it's going to be close. You'll find a number... The reason I can't give you... I mean, obviously, I'm hoping we're going to win. I think we're going to win. We need a net gain of 7 seats to go from 38, if you include Morwell as a coalition seat. We need 7 to go from 38 to 45. There are probably 15 or 16 seats seriously in play. Mm. And what you'll find is that a number of these seats will be won or lost by under 500 votes. So it's where the penny falls ahead or a tail on election day. As you know, that a couple of seats were incredibly close at the last election, Carrum, Paran in particular. So it's just where a few minor preferences go on a summary Saturday week or in the 2 weeks of the pre-poll starting Monday. No one can say with any confidence whatsoever where it's going to end up. We're obviously very hopeful. We think we've run a very good campaign. It's had a good balance of positive and negative. Matthew Guy's done an outstanding job. We think he's better known by Victorians now. And hopefully it'll be enough to get over the line on in 2 weeks' time.
Cool. Now, I've got a challenge for you, Michael, before we go. You may have seen in the media that the Pride Centre, Victorian Pride Centre, has received a commitment from Federal Labor of $10 million in funding and $600,000 for Joy to pay for, you know, Joy's infrastructure and everything to move to the Pride Centre. We haven't been able to get the same commitment from your federal colleagues.
Or any commitment, in fact.
Or we'd like you to help us take up that matter with them. You know, to you know, as Neville Wran once said, follow the money. Well, we'd like, you know, to enlist your help with your federal colleagues, you know, for Joy to, for the Pride Centre, that final bit of funding, but for Joy to be able to move. So can I engage you with that on that separately?
You can.
Thank you.
If you do the obligatory thing, which is just send me a note, you know where to send it, and I'd be very happy to take that matter up on your behalf.
Good man.
Done.
Look, thanks for your time. I know...
From the position of minimalist influence that I have, I might add.
I know, you're just a stamp licker, we know. But
I've told you that before. In all seriousness, I'm very happy to do that.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good day, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for your time. And
all the best.
We'll speak to you again real soon.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.